I know why he loosened that collar. Amen. He had to do that without loosening his collar. He'd have choked himself to death. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Amen. He hit the high note. Amen. I appreciate it, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're not careful, you get excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, folks, I want to do something tonight. Amen. I wanted to get into an area tonight called What It Takes to Get People to Christ. And on the passage of, we've never saw it on this fashion, amen? And I wanted to do those things here, but at the same time, I'll hang out with Pastor Dawson and them all day. And, you know, I looked around, and the people I was going to use to help me strong and all that, boy, they look wore slap out, amen? I'm trying to get people to get involved with Christian nightclub, and these guys can't do an afternoon tea, amen? But we're excited to be with them, amen. We are going to get into that. We may not do it tonight, but please, we'll bear with it because I want to do during this revival time. I want us to see what it actually takes to get people to Christ. Sometimes we look at others and door knocking and witnessing and all that, and we want to see a procedure, we want to see a process, we want to see all kinds of things like that take place. You know, give me a formula. But in fact, if you look at the Word of God, it gives you a picture about how to get people to Christ and what it all takes to get there. And it's basically a fourfold, a partnership that will take to get them to Christ. Amen. And I want to make sure that nobody's going to be a little tired on me when we go into this thing here, because we're going to need, I'm going to need at least five people. Amen. I'm going to need somebody who's got to be lame that we can go ahead and try to get this person to the Lord. Amen. And then we're going to get the other folks involved in that. And I think it'll be interesting. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all are planning on being here tomorrow night? Praise the Lord. That's almost everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I need to plan it on the time when y'all aren't planning on being here so I could use that as an encouragement, as an incentive. Y'all thought it was happening tonight. People showed up. Amen. I may string this out until the end of the week. Amen. Have y'all come here? If y'all come here at lunchtime, we want to do that. Amen. But what it is showing the principles of evangelism and how to really get out there and put your local missions to work. Amen. What it takes to get people to Christ. In the interim, folks, we're not going to keep you too long tonight if we can help it. Amen. And if we can't help it, buckle in. Amen. Pastor Dawson didn't tell me how much time I had tonight. Amen. But I do know that at times if I go too long... Well, when we get close to the time, somebody knocks at that door. Amen. Amen. So, say again. Well, you know, I was threatened that it happens all the time. Amen. You hear that? Then we start singing, who's that knocking at my door? Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. By the way, I appreciate you. We had a wonderful meal today with your pastor, wonderful time of fellowship with the men of the church and the ladies and so forth. Amen. Just had a good time, had a chance to, in the midst of all that, had a chance to witness to the person who was waiting on us today. Had a good time with him. You know, these folks waiting on all these different tables, but when they came around to our table, he had such a good time that he had to reach over and shake our hands. Wow. Amen. Because we made his day feel as good as he made us our stomachs full. Amen? And so it was a collaboration, a partnership. We had a good time with him. We invited him out, and he looked like he was genuinely interested in coming. Amen? And so that was exciting. Amen? Turn to Acts chapter number 1 with me tonight, folks. Familiar passage, but hopefully we're going to give it to you in a different kind of a light. Amen? One of the things about the Word of God that you'll always find out is that it doesn't change. Amen. And if you have been in the house of God at any length of time, somebody's going to come and preach that gospel. Amen. And somebody else is going to come and preach that same area. You're going to say, well, I know this. Well, don't take for granted that you know until God finishes with you. Amen. I found out you can read this book over and over and over and over and over again for the rest of your life and still not get all that's in there. Amen. It is a book that has lasted generations, amen. And the Bible says it's going to last through eternity. He said not one jot nor tittle is going to pass away until all be fulfilled, amen. And so I'm excited about what the Word of God has to say, amen. We're going to read several verses, so please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse number 1, is this on okay? Amen. I just wanted to make sure. Amen. So, all right. The Bible said, the former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, keep this in mind. The book of Acts is going to be a strange book in the entire, one of the strangest books in the entire Word of God. Because unlike any other book in the entire Word of God, the book of Acts was never completed. Amen. It never ended. You and I could just as easily be inserted in the last chapters of the book of Acts. Amen. Because the church didn't stop when the book of Acts stopped. Amen. The transition began to take place and continue to go forward. So it's not finished. You won't hear them giving a salutation at the end. You don't see anything happening at the end. All you see is it's kind of like fading out. Amen. And it fades out to the next time when the next chapter, the next group, the next people, the next church, the next ministry, the next mission fades in. Amen. And we're always phasing out and fading in as God moves into the certain times and certain seasons of life. Amen. So he said, these things is what Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. And listen to this, after his passion. Amen. After his passion. That tells you something. This thing called the church and souls meant something to Jesus. Amen. It wasn't just a passing whimsical thing. It was his passion. Amen. And so as we read down here a little further, it says, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, and I like that, that midnight hour he was singing about, whoo, we'll be going home, amen. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Father, we love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy once again. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege that we might come together and hear and understand and teach and preach and absorb the things of the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the hands that went up this morning, for not only those who knew, but those who didn't know. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, Lord, that we might communicate them to them the gospel and they might get saved before it's everlasting too late. I pray now, Father, that again, that you be with me. Father, again, if anything, move me out of the way. Move me out of the way. I know you're still working on me, Lord. But at least, and I know you're not finished, but at least let me be better today than I was yesterday. And help me to be better tonight than I was this morning. Then in all things, Father, you might get the glory. Now take charge of us tonight, Father. We need your encouragement, Lord. We're going to be dealing with commitments tonight. And Father, we're going to have to pick up your compassion and your passion if we're ever going to do anything with those commitments. So take charge of us. Lead, guide, and direct. For we praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight, folks. As you look at the book of Acts, you find a fellow by the name of Luke. Luke is one of the Gentile Christians who had gotten saved, amen. He's a Greek, amen. He's a Gentile, and God uses him to pen two books in the Word of God. He uses him to pen the Gospel of Luke, amen, which is a book that's written literally to the Gentiles, you and I. And then he also used him to pen the book of Acts, which shows how the church was beginning to transition, amen. It went from the temple to the church. It went from the Sabbath to a Sunday. And a uniquely different organism was built. And Luke is trying to communicate that over to a fellow called Theophilus, amen, a noble guy, but he says, I need you to know what Jesus has been doing, amen. He's using this as an opportunity to witness to Theophilus so Theophilus could get behind the ministry, amen. And so he says, all these things that Jesus both, and I love this, he said, began, amen. This is not the end of the matter when Jesus rose up and went into heaven. It was just the beginning. He said, when I go, if I go to be my Father, when I go up there, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And he's going to empower you to do the ministry on a global scale which could never be done before. Amen? He said, now you can't do this ministry until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he's going to tell them to tarry in Jerusalem. Amen? Why? Because you got folks out there trying to do ministry that are not equipped for ministry. Amen. And when you got people trying to do ministry that are not equipped for ministry, they make a mess of ministry. Anybody ever got involved with a messed up church? Strange doctrine? Amen. That happens because people, no matter how zealous they are to try and do it, they're not equipped for the task. So Jesus said, you just wait around, wait here, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to come and empower you to do the job you need to do. And this way you'll do it right. And so as he's coming through there, the Bible says this. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Amen. So the Great Commission was given. Amen. These are the commandments. This is what you need to do. But I understand something. You're not ready to do it yet. Amen. The New Testament was not written. There was no guidelines for them to go by. So the Holy Spirit of God had to physically transition them from point A to point B. You and I got GPSs to get from point A to point B. Before that, we used to use something called a map. Anybody, any of y'all ever had to use a map? They even had named the Ramic. No, my wife said no. She used to ride with me in the car, and I used to give her the map. And when I gave her the map for a little bit, we got so messed up that I used to take the map back. I said, what exit are we coming up to? Oh, let me see. And she's turning different pages. I'm trying to turn back, and she couldn't read the map. Oh, let me stop this. She couldn't read the map fast enough. Amen. That's how you stay married 38 years, right there. You clean that up right on the spot, clean it up publicly so she can't get you in the car and say, you just put me out there, didn't you? And she won't be able to say that, amen, because I cleaned it up, amen, because I love her and I need her. And, you know, that's another love story, amen. Amen. By the way, the Bible even says, don't hang out with a contentious woman. That's a bad thing, amen. But they didn't have that roadmap. You and I have the New Testament. We have a roadmap. We have a completed Bible. And what we don't have is an excuse. Amen. We can't say we don't know. We can't say we don't know what he wants. We don't have that excuse. They could use that excuse. Amen. Because they didn't have the Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God had to walk them through the scenarios that you and I read about, and we can walk those paths. They were the pioneers. Yes. Amen. And you and I are just following their footsteps. No matter where we go in the world, the plan that they pioneered is still the plan that works. Right. Amen. And the reason why sometimes it fails in people's lives is because the things that you need to make sure that the plan works, some of those things are missing. Amen. And they're not missing from the Word of God. they're missing from the people who are handling the Word of God. Amen. Because if you don't have it, guess what? Like that thing, compassion this morning. If you don't have it, you won't make a difference. Amen. Amen. To you, ministry is a drudgery. To you, giving is somebody else just begging. Oh, no, do we got to give to something else? Glory to God. What you going to come up with next? Always begging for money. Instead of investing with eternal rewards. And so as he's coming through here, the Bible says something down here. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive. And he says this, after his passion. Now, during the Easter time or the resurrection time, amen, the world calls it Easter. We call it resurrection time, you know. By the way, the word Easter is in the Bible. Did you know that? And you know what it means? It means Passover. Easter wasn't on a Sunday. It was actually on a Friday evening to Saturday evening. And you know why it's mentioned in the Bible? Because they had just killed James. And they were going to kill Peter. But the Passover time came, Easter came, and they put him away in the prison until the day after. And then they were going to kill him on the first day of the week. Did y'all know that? And God broke him out of prison. Amen. That's when Peter was laying down there sleeping and an angel came in there and had to wake Peter up. I mean, by the way, there's nothing like having a peace and contentment like that. Your partner for 3 years has been killed. He's been slain and they're going to kill you the next day, but you can sleep. Amen. And what happened was, of course, the Bible declares that he was over there sleeping. The angel came in there, had to kick him on the side, wake him up, and said, Peter, let's go. And he walked out to prison, walked out in the street. And as soon as he got past the gates, all of a sudden, the angel was gone, and Peter realized, you know, I thought I was dreaming. Amen? I didn't know I was awake. I didn't know this was actually happening. I thought I was dreaming. Amen? And at the same time, there was a church meeting going on. It was an intense prayer meeting. And you know, people talk about, I don't know why you want to get together. I think prayer should be private. There's times when there is private prayer. There's times when there's closet prayer. But there's times when the whole church needs to get together and pray. And the church had gotten together, and they began to pray. And they was praying, oh, dear Lord, deliver Brother Peter. Oh, dear Lord, deliver him from the hands of the devil, from the plans of the devil. And while they were praying, God had already begun to answer. And they're over there praying, and Peter's knocking at the door. Yes, amen. And the damsel comes to the door, and she sees Peter, and she starts screaming, but she doesn't let him in. Yeah. Amen. You ever get that excited? The girls do it all the time. Ah! Don't just stomp. They open the door and let him in. She went back and told him, it's Peter. They said, you know, it's Peter's spirit. Well, if it's Peter's spirit, now I got a reason to scream myself, amen? That means they've already killed him. He's dead. It's just a spirit here. Dead man walking, you know. But he comes over there, and they finally, he's continuing to knock. They let Peter in, and they realize something. You know, if we get people praying with the right passion and with the right purpose, God answers with the right power. And he'll deliver before your prayers are even finished. That's the kind of God we serve. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. But he enjoys hearing you ask. Amen. And so as Peter's work, I get caught up over there. I get excited about the word of God if you're not careful, amen. This is why you can Christian nightclub. You don't want to give this up, amen. His passion was out there. People could see these things, amen. He said he showed himself by many infallible proofs. Hey, folks, did Jesus really die on the cross? Amen. I mean, really, did he? Is hell real? Are you positive about that? No doubt in your mind. Did he really raise from the dead on the third day, like he said? Amen. Amen. By the way, if you don't have the proof from the Word of God, you can have the proof this way. He's the only one in history that is so powerful that his entrance on the scene caused time to stop and start over. Amen. The world recognizes it even though they don't want to recognize him. We live in 2015 AD, in the year of our Lord. They said, well, we don't want to believe in Jesus. We'll call it after the common era. Well, let me tell you something. You are still in error if that's what you're thinking. Amen. And anything before them is called B.C. And B.C. stands for before Christ. I mean, even an atheist can't deny it. Amen. Well, I don't believe in it. It doesn't matter. You still celebrate. I tell you what, since you don't believe it, we're going to pay you. We're going to pay you in 2000 AD money. What does that mean? I'm going to pay you a pence, a penny, because you don't believe the times have changed. You don't believe Jesus came anyway. Because I don't have to pay you because it's a new year. And it ain't one that you live in. But he's showing, it says, many infallible proofs. He said he was seen of them 40 days. Amen? Amen. By the way, when Paul starts talking about it, he said he was seen of the 12, of the couple, then of the 12, I mean the 11 rather. He said, then of me, and then of over 500 brethren at one time. Amen? How many witnesses do you have before it becomes a fact? Amen? Two, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. See, you went spiritual on me. I knew from the song, at the midnight, you were going to go spiritual on me sometime. Amen. I knew it was going to happen. Amen. 500 people saw him. Amen. And you and I have felt him. You and I know him by personal experience if you're saved here tonight because you trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior. These are infallible proofs, and yet still, we get like James and John and Peter and them sometime, and we quit on Jesus.
Yes, sir, we do.
Amen. We limit the Holy One of Israel by our own limitations. God's not limited by us, by the way. And it is a privilege that he wants to use us, but he's going to get his ministry out without us or not. The church is going to rapture out of here one day, and after that, he's going to have two witnesses come down. Amen. People say, who's those two witnesses? Some say it's Moses and Elijah. Some say it's Moses and Enoch. You know what? I have no idea who they are, but it doesn't matter. I'll see them go. Hey, if you get down there and you stop in Philly, I know you're going to be witnessing to the world from Jerusalem, but if you stop in Philly, get yourself one of those cheesesteaks. Hey, they are heavenly. Amen. In case you get home, say, get a Philly cheesesteak. It'll make you feel good about yourself. Amen. It'll make an unsaved person scream hallelujah. Amen. And so, folks, as he's going through here, he said all of these infallible proofs. He said when he doesn't need us, these two witnesses are going to come down here. He's got 144,000 who's going to be proclaiming the gospel after you and I are gone. You and I, if you're saved here tonight, we shuck out at Revelation chapter 4. Amen. These folks here are witnessing in Revelation chapter number 7, that 144,000. The two witnesses, they're in Revelation chapter number 12. And you're going to find other areas where it says it's going to have three angels. And this is the first time you're going to find the angels involved with the gospel.
Amen.
He could have used the angels before.
Yes, sir.
But he chose to use us.
That's right, he did.
Amen. He chose to use us.
He
used messages called the angels in the Old Testament all the time. But when it came down to the gospel, he didn't trust the angels with it. He trusted you and I. I guess he figured if we experienced it, we appreciate it, we're the best ones to communicate it. Amen? I'm a stickler. If I find a good anything, I tell everybody I know about it. Amen? You come to Atlanta, if I find a good restaurant, ooh, oh, you got to eat here. Amen.
Amen.
If I find a good book, oh, man, you need to read this.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Anytime I find something good, I want to share it with anybody I can. And he said, well, you got the good news.
Right.
I want to keep that to myself.
Amen.
I think it's just a personal thing. I told y'all when I got saved back in April 1977 in that field in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, I did something illegal to do something good. I called, and by the way, you said, how'd you do something illegal? Back then, they had these old pay phones. Any of y'all remember those old pay phones in the pay booth? Amen. Well, you could make a collect call on those things. Did you know that? Back then, you could make a collect call. Now, if you make a collect call and somebody's at another pay phone booth and they accept the charges, they don't know it's a pay phone. It's just an answered call. Amen. They caught on to it. That's why you don't have any pay phones anymore. That's why they ain't out there, because a bunch of criminals are out there trying to scam the system. Amen. Bunch of wicked folk out there doing that. I wasn't saved long, so don't, you can't hurt me. You can't harm me. I did something that any sinner would do that had the knowledge of crime. Amen. But it's just coming down. And about, y'all, some of y'all laughing at me. None of y'all did anything wrong when you first got saved? Yes, I mean, if not, we need to, if nobody has, I mean, maybe we need to have an altar call here and deal with. Amen. Amen. Well, it's just coming. One of the biggest problems that's missing in Christianity and our service and in missions is, for the most part, we don't have any passion for it anymore. Around Easter, I was going through there. They have this time called the Passion Week. Amen. Amen. And they always talk about the passion of Christ. And they're looking at the principle of him going from the Last Supper through the garden to the cross. And they're looking at that. But he said, that's not what his passion. The Bible tells us this is his passion. Right. Amen. Amen. This is his passion. What's his passion? To see people get reached with the gospel. Amen. And as he's giving them this passion, amen, he said, you know something? If I could communicate to you that passion, then there is nothing you won't do to fulfill it.
That's right.
Amen. It's a part of you. You'll feel that if you don't do it, something inside you is going to eat you alive. Amen.
Amen.
Eat you alive. People like Jeremiah had that passion. But when the Israelites wouldn't respond, boy, he would cry, he would weep.
Yes, sir.
One time he got so frustrated with them, amen. Pastor Dawson was right. He said, Pastor, just kick them out. They don't want to do right. They don't want to get involved. Just get rid of them. Kick them out. Fire them.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah had this. He said, I quit.
Oh, yeah.
I just quit. It doesn't do me any good. But he said, but I couldn't contain. There was a fire shut up in my bones. I had to tell people about it. Amen. Had to tell them. Peter, James, and John had that passion. Buddy, when they sent Jesus packing out of town, they said, can't we call down fire from heaven and consume them?
That's good. Amen.
You are not going to disrespect me and my Lord.
That's right.
And Jesus had to rebuke them.
Yes, sir, he did.
He said, you don't know of what spirit you are.
That's good.
I could almost hear them mumbling. Yes, I do. I'm of the spirit to say we don't need them. I'm of the Pastor Dawson spirit. Might as well consume them, get them out of here, get them out of the way. Amen. He said he showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to what? His very beginning, the gospel message about the kingdom of God being at hand. It was his passion. Amen. And so he gets these 11 together. He said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise was over there in John, where he says, again, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
By the way, with the Holy Ghost in your life, he will give you the passion that you lack.
He will.
Amen. He will give you the purpose that you need. And he will give you the power to bring it all, make it all come to pass. Amen?
Amen?
That's what he does. He said, without that, you could go out there and have the best laid plans and mess it up. Without that passion, you'll go over there and I'll hang for a little while, Pastor Dawson, until I get tired or bored. And then I'm out of here. I got better things to do. Something else has taken my passion. And so as he's going through here, he's dealing with these disciples. And these disciples, as he's dealing with them, the Lord Jesus gives them this commandment, Acts 1:8, and he's ascending up. And these guys are for the first time, literally in about 3.5 years, as far as they're concerned, they're leaderless.
Yes, sir, he is. They are.
They're leaderless. Even when Jesus had been killed, they had hovered around and huddled around, and they didn't know what to do, but they knew this here. Something has to be done, but we don't know what to do. And they was willing and ready to stay there on the pretense that the promise that he said he was going to be raised up in 3 days might be true. Yes, they still hung around each other for a little while. But now they physically see him go up. And they're standing there. And they're gazing there. And they're fixed with that. By the way, it's a shame we got more Christians fixed on the resurrection of Christ and the rising of Christ than on the ministry that he came to die for. And we got them looking up there. They're just looking up there watching. And he's already received. They can't see him anymore. So why are they still looking up? And they're so fixed on the gaze of looking up that they don't even see the angels, the two men in white apparel, coming beside them. He walks up on them and he says, "Ye men of Galilee,
yes, sir.
Why stand ye here? What are you standing here for?" Amen. It's not time to stand around and look up. It's time to go and do what God commanded and commissioned you to do. Church, you don't have time to sit back and try to figure out new ways to get it done. It's time to get up there and get it done.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so as they're pointing up there, it comes to them. These guys are talking. He said, "This same Jesus whom you seen go,
that's right.
You can mark this down. He's coming again.
He's coming.
In like manner. The same one."
Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all.
Amen.
But when Jesus comes back, I don't want him to catch me.
No.
I don't want him to catch me with promises unfulfilled that I made to him. I don't want to sit up there and say, "Lord, I promised to do X for you, and you came back because I procrastinated so long that it no longer mattered." Because I know he's coming back. I got a promise.
He is.
Amen. I know it's going to happen because I got proof.
Yes,
I know he's coming back with me because he said it was his passion.
Yes.
And now I don't have to worry about that. Amen. I don't want him to find me wrong. So I'm going to give you just a few things tonight that these angels and these Christians needed, these disciples needed. Amen. Just a few things tonight. And then we're going to go to the house. Amen. Or if you want to, we can hop in the car and go door knocking. Do some Christian event, Christian nightclub and amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the things, we was coming up here tonight, and there was an ice cream truck pulling up outside. Maybe I shouldn't share this here with Pastor Dawson, but in Belgium, we would finish the Sunday evening service or Sunday afternoon service, and the ice cream truck knew when we were finishing service. They knew it because soon as the service was finished, even before we get to the last amen, you hear the ice cream truck's music coming down there. And it was like Pavlov's dog. I mean, everybody in the church started, "Come on, God. Preacher, get to the amen part." Because not only did they know we was going to get ice cream, they were automatically assuming they know we're going to get ice cream and pastor's going to pay for it. Ice cream is good, but free ice cream is better. Amen. And so when I saw the ice cream truck pull up out there, I'm thinking, and Sister Ben said, "Hey, Brother Dawson, the ice cream truck." And what was that? What was that lame thing you said, Brother Preacher? Yeah, it's the wrong time. It's got to be after sermon. Amen. So y'all don't know about this, but there was a phone number on the truck that y'all could call and give them your dismissal time. And you'll have fellowship and free ice cream. It doesn't get any better than that, amen? The pastor also being such a gracious man, he's probably going to bow out and let one of you other men take care of the bill. He's very gracious that way. It's humble. Amen. He didn't want to take all the credit. Amen. Although I enjoyed it when the kids run up there. Thanks, Pastor Ben. And I'm thinking, yeah, 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 beggar. Well, I'm beggars, amen. Folks, when they came over there, these men, this church needed something. This group of people needed something. They knew that the Holy Spirit was coming, amen. They knew all of these things, but in the meantime, they were just looking up. They were directionless. And so first and foremost, these disciples needed at least one thing. First of all, the disciples needed enlistment, amen. Enlistment. That means I need to get on board with the passion that Christ showed me. I need to get on board for doing things the way he did. Enlistment, amen. Many times when we have these missions conferences, it's to enlist you in the program of God that you may not have ever been involved with before. Some people don't know what missions is all about. Boy, you'd be surprised what happens and what you could hear when you sit down and eat with people and let them just go ahead and talk. I found out some of these folks here, one of your dear brethren, amen, there he is back there. He was from a missionary Baptist church that had no missionaries. That's right. You said, how can that be? It's a denomination. It's a religion. But they had no missionaries. He had no clue what a missionary was. Amen. He comes to these things. He hears about missions. Am I telling it wrong, brother? Amen. He hears about missions. He's hearing about sending out missionaries. And he said, he wanted to jump on his wife. He said, would you bring me to a Mormon church? The only thing I know about missionaries is the Mormons going out. Amen. And he's got a missionary Baptist church with no missionaries, and he's dealing with Mormons who, by the way, put us to shame. They'll spend 2 years of their life on the mission field, a minimum, at their own expense. They'll raise money to do that, to propagate falseness.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Amen. Jesus and Lucifer, they say, were brothers in heaven. Amen. It's written. They documented it. It's in the Pearl of Great Price. The only reason why there was a war in heaven was because Lucifer had a plan that he presented to Elohim. And Jesus had a plan that he presented to Elohim. Elohim chose Jesus' plan as opposed to Lucifer's plan. And as a result of that, when it came down to it, Lucifer got upset. And when he got upset, he convinced one-third of the angels to join his side.
Yes.
And then they had war in heaven. One-third of the angels joined Lucifer's side. One-third of the angels joined Jesus' side. And the other third of the angels became neutral, didn't take any side. And because they didn't take any side, they were marked.
Yes, sir.
And you know how they were marked? They were given dark skin. Yeah. Because I didn't take sides. Yeah, whether be warm or cold, but being in the middle, you make me sick. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, sister. Now I'm dark skinned and I make God sick. Thanks for the encouragement there. Maybe I could cheer you up later. Who knew? But that was why they said it. And they said when it came down to it, demons were cursed, not having a body. That's why they come down here and possess everything. Amen. The 1,000 of them that was in that man, the maniac of Gadara. Amen. And by the way, after that, one of the things that happened was this. Because we got cursed with that dark skin, Pastor, you and I can never have our own planet.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
You don't get a planet at all because you're a lady. Say again?
I don't want a planet.
You got to want a planet to have your own kids and have them down here so they can mess up, so you can send your only son and die for them and redeem that planet. You already got that. We don't get our own planet. We don't get to be a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. Amen. Say again. Oh, it's not the Lutherans that believe that. That's the Mormons. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, in the Pearl of Great Price. Oh, yeah. But that's curses from Genesis. Yeah, you shouldn't have listened. You should never listen to. Let's go forward, folks. Amen. He tried to get them involved with missions. And there are folks over there who have no clue what missions is about. Because they go out there and they got this mandate, but they don't have any message from God. It's not real. And so he had to enlist them, and he had to tell them about his perpetual plan to get the gospel out. Amen. He had to enlist them and say, this is what missions is about. They seen the Pharisees. They seen the Sadducees. They seen the Sanhedrin. They know that that doesn't work. But Jesus said, this is how you do it. You got to be ready to make the sacrifice. And I need to get people who are willing and ready. The Bible says to forsake father and mother, to forsake friend, husband, and wife, to forsake all and follow him. I need to get people who are that determined, that dedicated. And you need to see that the eternal promises of God and the rewards of God are yea and amen. You need to see me. You need to understand the power of God and the passion of God before you will ever embrace it.
That's good.
And if you ever embrace it, we'll never have to ask a missions conference to do more.
That's right.
But until we embrace it, we'll always have to be trying to enlist the next person to do more and be more for God.
That's right.
Just because they love him.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
So the disciples needed enlistment. Amen?
Amen.
I need to get you on board. You can't be standing around here looking up.
That's right.
Amen. We got more Christians looking up for the return of Christ. Christ said, occupy till I come.
Right.
Not observe till I come.
Right.
The disciples needed enlistment. The disciples needed encouragement. Amen. And you know what he did to encourage them? He showed them himself.
Yes,
amen. You can't get much more encouragement than seeing the resurrected Lord in your presence.
Amen.
Amen. And so verse number 3, he said, to whom also he showed himself alive. Amen. He said they needed that encouragement. They needed not just his passion, they needed his presence to convince them. And his presence convinced them of 3 things. Number 1, it convinced them of the reality of the resurrection. Amen? It's real. It's real. If this body, and by the way, I'm not looking for the resurrection. I'm looking for the rapture. Amen? And until the rapture happens, my goal is to give Methuselah a run for his money. Now, Methuselah lived to be 909. Wow. Are you sure about that? Were you there when he was born? Because I was getting ready to say, now I don't have to worry about Methuselah. I got to worry about you. Amen. I plan on giving him a run for his money. I don't plan on dying. Amen. I don't plan on meeting the undertaker. I'm looking forward to running up with the uppertaker, amen? That's what I'm looking for, amen? But until then, amen, he had to convince them the resurrection is real. One day, if you die, you will be raised again. This corruptible will put on incorruption, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I'm looking forward to that, because this corruptible body, because it's dying, amen. It's dying. It's dying even though I'm walking around. I remember when I was younger, I could do so many wonderful things. Now that I'm older, I thought I could still do them. Amen. You ever do that when you're younger? You could just come and jump off of stuff. Nowadays, you just one go to the edge of it, and a crook can take you back. Glory to God. I wasn't expecting that. Amen. I'm ready for the rapture to take place. But he gave first and foremost the reality of the resurrection, verse number 3. But also the reality of the rapture, verse number 9. Huh? He said, as he was speaking, what happened? Verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was what?
Taken up.
The rapture says, come up hither. Amen. John said over there in Revelation, he said, the Lord said, come up hither and I'm going to show you something. Hey, I'm looking forward to the rapture, folks. He said, this is how it happens. This is how real it is. Just like you see me go. And by the way, I don't know how fast it was. I don't know how fast it took Jesus to go from the ground to the clouds.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I guarantee you, as those guys were moving, watching, I wonder if Jesus put it in slow motion for them. Slowed the whole thing down. John. Look.
Yes, sir.
Because he said it's going to happen for us.
Yes, sir,
in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That is 1/100,000th of a second. Amen. That's how quickly we shucking out of here. Amen. So if you hear me say, gee, and I'm gone, you in trouble. You in trouble. Amen. And since you are in trouble, my clothes and my keys will be left down here. Because somebody return that rental car because it has to be back by a certain time. Because you know they'll charge you a fortune over there. So I can't depend on you to turn it back in. Thanks a lot for your help there. Hey, folks, the reality of his resurrection, the reality of the rapture in verse number 9, amen, but also the reality of his return in verse number 11. They needed that encouragement. They needed to know because guess what? James is going to die, one of the first of the apostles to die, amen. But before that, Stephen is going to be stoned to death. They needed to know this momentary time that you are sleeping, the Bible declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You need to know that there's nothing that anybody can do down here to harm you that's going to take you away from the love of God. He sees neither death nor life. Amen. They need to know that. They needed to know that the rapture that they were speaking about is real.
Yes, sir.
They need to see how it's going to be happen. How the Bible said we're going to be caught up together and meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. They needed to see that pattern.
Yes, sir.
See, when Jesus comes back, he's not going to come back and step on the earth right away. He's going to call us in the clouds. When he comes back and sets forth on the earth again, you and I, if you are saved, we'll be coming with him.
Amen.
Amen. He's got the cavalry behind him, amen, riding on white horses, and he's going to be on the white horse. He's going to have the vestment dipped in blood, amen. He's coming back here. He's going to step on the Mount of Olives, the same mount that you see him come from. He's going to come back. He's going to step on that. That mountain's going to split, and it's going to be on.
Yes, sir, it is.
Somebody said, Jesus is coming again,
yeah.
And boy, is he mad. He's not coming as a baby anymore. He's coming as a warrior. The Lion of Judah. They needed to have that encouragement. Amen. Folks, we're running out of time. Let me encourage you. Standing and gazing up and dreaming and daydreaming about what's going to happen and where Jesus went ain't going to get it done. Amen. You and I need to embrace his passion. We need to recognize his presence because he said, lo, I am with you. How often? Always. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even when he had to go up, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. That's why he told him, stay in Jerusalem. My paraclete, the one who's going to go beside you, the one who's just like me, who's going to come inside you and dwell inside you, he'll be here not many days hence, but you wait and you stay there until he comes. And when he comes, he'll empower you to do what you cannot do without his power. They needed enlistment. They needed encouragement. Amen. And that encouragement was the reality of his resurrection, of his rapture in verse 9, of his return. But they also needed enlightenment. They needed enlightenment. What are you talking about? He showed them his passion. He showed them his presence. And then he showed them his plan.
Amen.
That Acts 1:8. It's a one verse mission statement.
Yes, sir, it is.
This is the plan. After that the power has come upon you, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, not could be, should be, you shall be. This is going to be the mark of who you're supposed to be. Ye shall be witnesses, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both. And notice that word both. That's where the challenge of missions comes to you. Both in Jerusalem and conjunction in Judea, in all Judea, and another conjunction in Samaria, and another conjunction unto the uttermost part of the earth. Pastor White was talking about how the ministry, when he came and visited us, how we went from here to over here to over here to over here, going up to Athens, preach over there, preach up here, run the bus, come up. And by the way, I got my CDL. I drive the bus and all those things at times as well. And I used to drive it all the time, doing all these things here. And with all of that, I couldn't be in two places at one time.
Amen.
That's why he was wore out. He said, I didn't even know if we ever got any sleep. That's why he couldn't handle it. Amen. He couldn't wait to leave there and come back here to join. That's got to, I'm not in Arizona. I don't have to do all of that. Amen. I just, Brother White, you ever pray about coming over here? Not anymore.
Oh, that's good.
It's too hard up here. No. You got to be careful how they pick from you from up here. They forget I got to get up here after them. Amen. He gives them his plan. We can't be in two places at one time. After a couple of years of doing that, me and my family was wore out. When we first started, we had a whole group of people. Yeah, they got up in the bus, yay, verily, and we were singing as we were going down the road, you know, singing Christian songs, you know, all kinds of things. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. After about a month, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, shut up. Amen. I'm sleepy. The bus started thinning out. People started saying, man, that's too early and we're staying too long. We're getting back too late. It got so bad we just parked the bus up there. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. Amen. Because they realized it's tough being in two places at one time. And by the way, that was never God's plan. For me to have to pastor two places.
Right.
His plan was for somebody else to go take that other place. Amen. That was his plan.
Yes,
start it, get it set up, turn it over.
Yes.
Amen. As a missionary. That was his plan. His plan was not for me to try and pastor two works, start two works, and work at the same time. Amen. His plan was for the church to get involved, helping to support the person. Because, by the way, maybe I could have lasted 4 years if I didn't have to work too.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But because people were dying, I didn't have enough time to spend 2 years on the missions field trying to convince some people to support me to do a work that they didn't believe in, that they didn't have a passion for.
That's right.
Amen. We got more missionaries that's been on the mission field for 2.5 years on deputation, just trying to raise support. And in that 2.5 years, people are dying and going to a devil's hell because death doesn't wait for them to get their support. And sometimes the families, by the time they get to the field, are so discouraged that many of them don't stay on the field that long. Because the churches that they counted on to help support them and take care of them, after a while, they stop taking care of them.
Yes, sir, they do.
And those families are out there stranded. They left father, mother, they left home. I talked to some folks at the other day where a missionary out there, he's in the Baffin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Cost $9 for a box of cereal.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. We took up some things and shipped up a whole bunch of little things. Like, and his children love Captain Crunch, something like that.
Oh.
To them, that's a delight. It's a treat. And we sent boxes of it up there to them. And we got missionary letters back from, oh, thank you. My children love this here. We use it. Say again? Yeah. Because they was praying against missionaries' kids praying for Captain Crunch.
Wow.
Amen. you and I would throw it out and get stale in our cabinets.
Yes, sir.
That's why I was saying this morning. If we just gave up a lunch.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
If you get 10 Christians to give up one lunch a month, you could be responsible for one missionary getting $100 towards his support to go out.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I think we got more than 10 in here.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not a mathematician. Amen. By the way, I have to say this. I don't know why nobody wants to get on this front row. Say again? The choir don't sit down there. I watch where they sit. And this dear brother was over here, and he got up out of his seat and moved to the other one. He getting ready to start. He may start spitting. Let me move now.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Folks, so many times, we got to remember, God wants us to be enlightened. He says, here's my plan, all right? His plan is real simple. It begins with the community. And ye shall receive power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both at the same time, but starting in Jerusalem. I found out this. If you don't have a passion for Tucson, you're not going to have much passion for Arizona, let alone America, let alone the uttermost parts of the world. Well, I believe that the world needs the gospel, but I'm too busy to go on visitation. Am I wrong in that? If you got your passion, amen. If anything, if I got that passion, I should be saying, Pastor Dawson, can we go out tonight? And let Pastor Dawson say, no, leave me alone. I'm tired of knocking on doors. Let him tell you that. And at the very least, he could employ one of his deacons. I'm not going with you tonight, but deacon such and such. And put those guys to work.
I like it. Amen.
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 Well, if the deacons can't make it, maybe the assistant pastor. Yeah, Brother White, I remember you back there. Maybe Pastor White will do it.
Amen.
Maybe the usher could do it.
Amen.
You know, he did say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm on the clock right now. My wife just looked at her clock, so that means wrap her up, buddy.
Amen.
He made his plan. It began with the community, Jerusalem. It moved on from the community to the country. He said from Jerusalem and in how much of Judea? All of Judea, amen. And it moved from the community to the country to the continent. Amen. It kept going out. And all Samaria, that whole Asian area down there. By the way, by the time you get to Acts chapter number 17, this testimony goes out. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Amen. Amazing what could happen when we embrace the passion of Christ. Amen. And it went from the community to the country, to the continent, he said, to the uttermost parts of the world, to the cosmos. It reached everywhere. Everywhere. How can Shining Light do that? Have you looked at your missions board? Hey, do you have missionaries any place in the United States? Do y'all have any missionaries in Europe? Y'all have any missionaries? I would say Europe and then France, because France is its own continent, if you ask them. You know, the French ain't no ever saying, huh? You got any missionaries in Africa? Man, that's another continent, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey, folks, how can you be here in Tucson and be in Africa at the same time? And be in Europe at the same time. And be in Cleveland at the same time. How can you do it? Amen. We're going to run up the highway like me and Brother White did? Get us a private jet and fly back and forth and be every place at the same time? How do I get it done? It's called missions. It's called missions.
Yes, sir.
That's how we get it done.
Amen.
The disciples need enlistment. They need encouragement. They need enlightenment. So he showed them his passion for their enlistment. He showed them his presence for their encouragement. He showed them his plan for their enlightenment. And the disciples needed one more thing. Enablement.
Gloria.
It's one thing to know all of this stuff, and it's another thing to do it. And you know what he showed them there? He gave them his power.
Yes, sir, he did.
In my own strength, I can't do anything.
Uh-huh.
But with his power, I can do all things.
Amen.
Amen. I can't give to missions in my own power.
That's right. That's right.
My logical mind says it can't be done.
Yeah.
I can't increase my missions. I looked at my bills not recently. We just had a missions conference as well. And I had, every year we've increased our missions since the day we first started.
Amen.
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 And I remember when I first started missions, I gave a grand total of $5 a month. And that's what I thought, too.
Wow.
When I put that $5 in there, I thought, this is what it's all about here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what it's all about. Put that $5 in there. And Buddy looked over with that grin.
Yeah, yeah.
And that $5 went in there, put it down there. And you don't have to sign your name.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
The only time you put that money in there, nobody knows. But I said, but when they get that $5 thing over there, they're going to say, oh, yeah. And then the angels of heaven begin to speak to the birds of heaven.
Yes, sir.
And the birds of heaven begin to sing. Cheep, 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 cheep. Cheep, 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 cheep.
Amen.
You ever give something to God and the birds bust you out?
Oh, boy.
So I got under conviction. And the next time they had a missions conference, I doubled it. I could see the sun shining on a rainy day, son. This is what it's all about. And the birds broke out singing again. Cheep, cheep, cheep. Cheep, 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 cheep.
Oh, yes.
I know what I'll do now. Next missions conference. I'm going to double it again.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Surely, I'm about to be offered any vacancy that may come in the Trinity. James and John was asking, can I sit on your right hand or on your left hand?
That's right.
They don't have to worry about it. After I've doubled my missions,
yes, sir.
That spot's for me.
Yeah.
God was not impressed. And the birds sang again. And I say again. Thanks. My dear helpmeet, the supporter of my soul. So the next year, I doubled again. Anybody doing any math? How much is that? Wow, a month. Yeah. Wasn't like we had any money to do anything. You know? So that was a sacrifice that had monumental implications. And by the way, while I call myself doubling, giving $40 a month, God gave me raises of over $100 a month and $150 a month and let me know, you ain't nothing but a cheap lowdown. You know I put more in your heart than that, but you didn't trust me. So the next year I doubled. And guess what? God was faithful. A promotion came. And so the next time I doubled. How much is that? Yeah. And then the next time, I doubled. How much is that?
320.
Mm-hmm. And the next time, I added another $5. No.
Amen.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. No. You know, folks, all kidding aside, every single year, and well, right now we're Like I said, we're well over the price that most people pay for 2 car payments.
Wow,
and it all goes to missions.
Yes, sir, it does.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We don't have a whole lot of stuff that people have.
That's right.
But we absolutely need nothing.
Amen.
Absolutely need nothing.
Amen.
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 Pastor White. Amen. Hey, I needed enablement. I couldn't do it. I didn't have enough faith to do it right. I was holding back the hand of God. And I thought I was doing something courageous and bold until God called me out of my comfort zone a little bit. He said, why should you be comfortable? And why should you be back here comfortable when the other, your brethren, is out there fighting for your cause?
That's good.
But the comfort zone he took me out of wasn't much at all.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
It just meant that I couldn't have a dinner out.
That's right.
It meant that maybe I couldn't buy that extra luxury feature or a new computer or whatever. But guess what? Somebody ate because of that.
Yes, sir,
somebody got saved because of that.
Yes, sir.
And it's worth any junk that I... By the way, the old computers I had, had to throw most of them away. Amen? And y'all got your old computers?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. But you keep it going because you sacrifice all that you have for missions.
Praise the Lord for that.
Really? Uh-oh. My wife says, leave it alone. Walk away. Folks, instead of gazing up, he said it's time to get involved. We got to reach the world. It's God's passion, it's his presence, it's his plan, and it's his power. All I need you to do is get on board. If you trust him, the Holy Spirit of God has already worked on some of your hearts. You gave something before, and he's saying you could do a little better. You don't have to do a lot better to make a big difference.
Right, right.
But you could do a little better and make a big difference.
Amen?
Amen? Why? Because little is much
when
God is in it. Amen?
God is good.
If you haven't gotten involved with missions at all, this could be your time.
Yes, sir.
How much should I start out with? Don't worry about it. If you start out with $5 and the birds don't sing, then you did good.
Yeah.
Or the birds are all dead. But whatever it takes, everybody can get involved. Everybody can get involved. Right now in our church, we have a jug that sits in front of the church. And in this jug, it says, for missions. And every time we give an offering and everything, this jug, little children come up and they get up out of their seats. And the little children come over there and they put money in this jug. Amen. And you should see them. Mommy, mommy, dad, dad. Oh, looking around there. And some parents, some little children, they get a little bit upset because they don't have anything to give. And other parents will begin to reach into their pockets and give these little children to give. And by the way, these little children wind up getting us to give more money to missions that the parents wouldn't have normally given. But because they want to encourage the children to give, they give it to the children. And the children give and they learn missions and the missions go out. Either way you go, the money comes in, the missions goes out, the world gets saved. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody can do it. And if you're not careful, you'll actually enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Let's stand to your feet. Our feet.